Minutes tuned to yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levinier. Comedy in this hour. Later on, we hear Burns and Allen with special guest, dancer and entertainer Fred Astaire. But right now, it's the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy Show, an NBC broadcast from October 19th, 1947.
Sanborn Coffee and Royal Puddings bring you the Charlie McCarthy Show. This is Ken Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you from Thorne Hall at Occidental College, Los Angeles, California. On behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Anita Gordon, Mortimer Sturd, Pat Patrick as Ursula Twing, Hans Conried, and our special guest, Jane Wyman. And here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Lucky people, you.
Charlie, you should feel at home here in these halls of learning.
Well, any similarity between me and a student is purely accidental.
I see. Well, seeing all these students takes me back to my college days.
That's a long trip for a man your age.
Yeah. Charlie, are you thinking of college?
No, I'm still thinking of getting out of the eighth grade.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, the trouble is with you, young man, you have no get up and go. Why don't you kindle the flame of ambition?
I'm sorry, Bergen, the pilot light's out. Now, gee, I wish I was out of school. That's what I wish. I wish I had $1,000,000, too. That's what I wish.
That's a silly wish.
Yeah, I guess you're right, yeah. With things so high, I better make it $2 million.
Yeah. Well, wishing won't help you get $1,000,000.
No.
No, and it won't help you graduate. And you'll have to study hard to stay in college. After all, you're not Aladdin.
Who's Aladdin? The football star?
No. No, do you mean to say that you don't know the story of Aladdin?
No.
Well, then, I will be glad to tell it to you.
Oh, why did you have to open my great big mouth?
Yeah. Well, the story of Aladdin, it's been told many times in many ways.
Of which this will easily prove the worst.
Yeah. Aladdin was a lot like you, Charlie.
Yeah?
Yes, he hated school, he hated to study, and he hated work.
Let's just say he was a normal kid.
When his mother kept criticizing him, he ran away from home.
And lived happily ever after the end.
No.
Not so quick, huh?
No. No. As he was traveling about, Aladdin met a sorcerer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A flying sorcerer?
No.
A cup'n sorcerer?
No. A sorcerer deals in magic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he said, come with me, and I will make you wealthy. So he took Aladdin to the side of a great mountain, and from his pocket, the sorcerer took a powder.
I think I'll take a powder, too. You know.
He sprinkled the magic powder on the side of the mountain, and a great big stone with a brass ring appeared. Now, what do you think was beneath this stone?
Worms.
No. No, it was the entrance to a cave. A cave filled with precious jewels and a magic lamp.
Yeah?
He told Aladdin that if he would bring him the old lamp, all the treasure was his.
Well, why didn't he go in and get the lamp himself?
Because the cave was too narrow.
Uh-huh.
You see, Charlie, he was using this boy for his own greedy purposes.
Was his name Bergen?
No.
No, I love those little days. See, I got public opinion with me.
Yes.
You better get wise, Bergen.
All right. Aladdin wouldn't give him the lamp. So the sorcerer closed the cave, and Aladdin was locked in the cave for 3 days.
Yeah?
And he was getting weaker and weaker.
So is your story.
All right. And as he sat there toying with his old oil lamp, he happened to rub it. And what do you think happened?
His hand turned green.
No. No. From out of the spout poured a monstrous cloud of black smoke.
He needs an oil change.
Yeah. And in this cloud was an enormous creature, 40 feet high. Oh, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, yes, it is, yeah.
But Aladdin saw it with his own eyes.
Well, personally, I think the lamp and the kid were both lit.
No, no, no. No, this creature was a genie.
No.
Yes, and the genie said, "What is your bidding, master?"
One, no trump.
No, please. Don't you see, Charlie? This genie could make any wish come true. So the boy said, "I wish I was out of here and back home." And sure enough, immediately he was home. He told his mother the story, and she wouldn't believe him. She said it was poppycock and rubbish.
I'm inclined to go along with Mom on that.
Yeah. So the magic lamp and Aladdin, why, they enjoyed all the luxuries.
Yeah.
Until one day the sorcerer came along disguised as a peddler.
Uh-huh.
And he was crying, "New lamps for old, new lamps for old."
Ah, oh, shut up.
And while only a servant was in the house, the sorcerer traded the old magic lamp for a brand new one. So once again, Aladdin was as miserable as ever. Now, Charlie, what is the moral?
Well, the moral is, don't wish for things.
That's right.
Or Bergen will tell you a story and you wish you hadn't.
Yeah.
Ray Noble and his orchestra now bring us a sparkling arrangement of Liza. Chase and Sanborn is the most satisfying coffee you've ever tasted. Everybody gets the new blend now, improved to such a flavor peak that today's Chase and Sanborn is the richest, most flavorful coffee, penny for penny, that money can buy. Now's the time to ask for Chase and Sanborn, the coffee with the shade-grown flavor.
Well, it's you, isn't it, Mortimer?
Ill. Ain't that just my luck?
Yeah. Well, now tell me, Mortimer, did you have a good time with that quarter I gave you?
Well, sure. Well, I sure did. I went to the Penny Arcade.
Penny Arcade?
Yeah. Well, I had a wonderful time. Enjoyed myself something awful.
Yeah. Something awful. Did you try one of those electric shocking machines to see how much current you could take?
Yeah. I put a penny in there and squeezed the handles, you know.
Yeah,
that's what I did, yeah. And then all of a sudden, I sort of went to... I was crazy bones all over.
Is that right?
Yeah. I felt like pins and noodles.
Is that right?
Dang thing wouldn't let me go. It wouldn't let me.
Well, then you didn't like it.
Heck no, no. I ain't been so shook up since I stuck my head in the washing machine.
Yeah, well, you see, Mortimer, there's alternating current in those handles.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And you're a conductor.
I am?
Yes.
Want a transfer? I made that up, yeah. Stank, didn't it? Yeah.
Well, didn't anything else unpleasant happen there?
Yeah, later I was standing there minding my own business when some kid dropped a penny in my mouth.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, when I didn't light up, the kid started kicking me.
Oh, I see.
Crazy people.
Yeah. Well, did they have one of those silly machines or that's supposed to register how attractive you are to the opposite sex?
Oh, yeah. I tried that, too. Yeah.
Well, what is your rating in sex appeal?
I don't know. The machine gave me my penny back.
Oh, it did. Of course you try those machines where you turn a crank and watch the movies inside.
Oh, yeah. Oh boy, did I, oh, boy. Oh, what I seen in those, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I went right home and washed out my eyes with soap.
Is that... Well, you mean that, you mean...
Oh, don't ask, oh.
You mean it was sort of risque?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I'll say it was. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Do you think I ought to leave town?
Oh, no. Well, tell me, what did you see?
Well, you won't tell nobody.
No.
It was a girl wearing a hay skirt.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, I never seen nobody pitch hay like that before.
Don't you know why she was shaking and wiggling like that?
Well, I reckon she was trying to shake the ants out of that grass skirt.
No. That's not the reason.
Well, maybe she learned to wiggle her ears and let the thing get away from her.
No. Mortimer, she was a dancer. One of those Hawaiian hula dancers.
Yeah.
Why, sure.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes I think you haven't a brain in your head.
Oh, you've been peeking, Angel.
Bergen.
Yes, Anita?
Is Lily Pons going to sing today?
Well, I'm afraid not, Anita. The flu bug has played a very mean trick on all of us.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wish there was something I could do.
Well, there is, Anita. You can sing a song in your own sweet way. And let's hope that Miss Pons is listening.
See the difference it makes. I'm half myself without your kisses. One more night of doing without 'em is driving me crazy. Won't you make me smile again? Won't you? Just a word is all that it takes. Myself without your kisses. One more night of doing without them will drive me crazy. Won't you make me smile again? Thank you.
Charlie and I, we were doing a benefit performance at a hospital, and, well, we were walking down the hall, man. Say, that's a pretty girl dressed in that nurse's aide uniform. Do you know who she looks like?
Yeah. Why, you're right, Bergen. It's Jane Wyman. Yoo-hoo, Miss Wyman.
Hello, Edgar. Hello, Charlie.
Jane, what are you doing here?
Helping out as a nurse's aide.
Oh, well, roll up a bandage and tell us about it. Oh, you'd make a beautiful Florence Nightingale. No.
Would you like to have me around when you're sick?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind having you around when I'm well, either.
Charlie, if you were my patient, yeah. I'd watch over you like a baby.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to that?
Goo-goo.
Hello, Charlie and Edgar. What are you blighters babbling about?
We're talking to Jane Wyman.
Oh, how yes. do you do, Miss Wyman? I say the most wizard thing just happened to me. It's just too wonderful.
Yeah, well, what are you so smug about?
Well, look here, Charlie. Look, I found this bottle.
A bottle?
Yeah, of course, there's no label on it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Napoleon brandy.
Yeah, well, you'd better be a little careful, you know. In a hospital, it might be a bottle of ether.
Well, let's open it up and take a sniff.
Boy, another minute and it would open itself. What'd you like?
Smells like vodka. What do you think, Miss Wyman?
Smells like fingernail polish.
Well, now it's my turn. Well, I still say that's ether.
Ether? Let me take a whiff of that stuff. Woo! Here I come, dreamland.
That's enough, Charlie, that's enough.
That stuff makes me feel so fizzy. I mean dizzy, wizzy.
Let me smell it again. I still say it's ningerpale polish.
I don't agree with you. I think it smells a little like a suction foda.
Give me another whiff of that, will you? Oh, Mr. Noble, I never knew you had two heads.
Oh, yes, old man. I always carry a spare.
Ooh, I'm so sleepy.
Let me take another whiff.
Let's all sniff.
Yeah. I still say it's Bransky.
Calling Dr. Pinkham. Dr. Pinkham, report to surgery. The sink is stopped out.
Where am I?
You're in a hospital.
In a hospital? Let me out of here.
But I'm your nurse.
Keep me in here. How'd I get in the hospital?
Don't you know?
Now, don't tell me the start brought me.
Here comes your doctor.
Don't know why all my patients seem to die stormy weather. Tell me, my little Wiener Schnitzel, are you the patient?
Well, I'm not the bedpost.
You could have fooled me.
Yeah, well, who are you?
I am Dr. Streptococcus von Underschlang. M.D., C.O.D.
And P.U.
Tell me, nurse, is the patient making any progress?
Well, not with me, he isn't.
Well, I take a look at the shaft. Huh. Gallant Joe closed fast in the stretch, but he was no match for me. Oh, wrong shot.
<Yeah. laughs> What do you think's wrong with him, Doctor?
I don't know. I give him a thorough examination. Let me see. Aha! Zo-zo!
What's up, Doc?
You have got hardening of the art galleries.
What?
Complicated by lumbar fandango and delicious anemia.
What would you suggest we do, Doctor?
Well, we might as well operate. What have we got to lose?
Yeah, just me, that's all, that's all.
Now, Charlie, don't you worry. He won't cut very deep.
It doesn't make any difference how thin you slice it. It's still McCarthy.
Dr. von Underschlang, is it a serious operation?
My dear girl, all my operations are serious. I go out now and scrub up.
Yeah. I'm glad I
Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Brown?
It's enough without you.
Brown. Yeah. I am Dr. Ursel Twing, specialist on X-ray and fluoroscope. And
Well, it isn't exactly fluoroscope either because it does not sit on the floor.
No.
And, no, it stands on the... it's really a tablescope.
All right.
Did you send for me?
Yes, we did, Doctor. We want you to look at this patient under the fluoroscope.
Oh, you do? Goody, goody, garden seed. Now, let me see. What room is the fluoroscope machine in?
Well, it's right here in this room. What's the matter with you? You ought to know that.
Young woman, are you trying to tell me how to run my business?
Oh, no, Doctor.
Well, I wish somebody would. My business is just terrible lately. Now, a young man, come right over here.
Yes.
And stand right here.
Yes,
with
sir?
Your cute little back to this machine.
All right. I'll say this thing is hot.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the radiator.
Yeah, what?
Here, this is the fluoroscope machine, I think.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now stand right here and let me look in the screen.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake. My gosh, just look at all those things on wheels running around.
Doctor, you're looking out the window.
Oh.
Here's the screen. Look.
Oh, way over there. All righty. I'll take a little
look.
I
wish you would.
Here are the lungs, and here's the heart, and oh, here's your wishbone.
You don't see anything of an old pair of mittens, do you? I don't know where I left them.
Well, I'll keep looking. Now, here we have the diaphragm, yes, the stomach, and the liver.
My, they seem all mixed up.
Yeah. Well, if I'd known you were coming, I would have tidied up. Well, what do you think is wrong, Doc? What do you see? What do you see?
What do I see?
Yeah.
Well, do you want to know the overall picture?
Yeah.
It looks to me like you swallowed a picket fence.
A what?
Yes, that's definitely a picket fence.
Pardon me, Doctor, but aren't those his ribs?
Oh, heavens to Elizabeth, yes. I think you're right, but over here is the course of the alimentary canal.
Oh, the canal, yeah.
Uh-huh, it runs up around here,
yeah,
over a little bit, and yeah, down and over and yeah, up and down.
Doc, could I interest you in a 30-day cruise?
If you'll just excuse me while I go get a yachting cap.
Yeah, all
goodbye,
right.
Goodbye.
Now, this is a fine how-do-you-do.
Yeah, how-do-you-do, how-you-do there. Yeah, my name is Axel Svensson, and I want to see a veterinarian, huh?
Oh, you don't feel well?
Well, they ain't to me. That's my little kitty cat there. I think she has a little touch of yellow jaundice in her joints there. Oh,
but what you need is a feline physician.
Yes, so.
Who is this?
Doctor, he's here to consult you about his darling kitty.
Kitty. What a lovely name. My wife's name is Alberta.
Alberta? Oh, isn't that just peachy?
What seems to be the trouble with Kitty, eh?
Well, she's been acting up kind of peculiar here lately. She keeps jumping around on the roof, and at night she makes funny noises. She's acting like a screwball.
Ach, that is terrible. No wonder the divorce courts are so crowded. Yeah. Has she eaten anything lately?
Well, only a goldfish. But she won't let me come near her now since I stepped on her tail.
Who, your wife?
No, my little kitty cat. Yeah, well, that's how it is. I think I go now. Hello.
Well, now we go ahead with the operation. Nurse, don't you think you'd better boil the instrument?
Oh, let's fry him for a change.
Oh, pardon me. What are you doing, Doctor?
I am about to operate.
Oh, how jolly. May I cut in?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yes, please do. Grab a scalpel. I'm glad you dropped in. Maybe you can help me correct my slides.
Doctors, do you know what this patient is suffering from?
Well, if you ask me, I think it's wrong diagnosis and floating dialects.
How do you operate, Doctor?
Strictly cash in advance.
Dr. von Underslung wanted. Dr. von Underslung wanted in St. Louis, Chicago, New York. Reward.
I'm a very popular fellow.
Doctor, why do you have to operate at all on this boy?
Why, he can't live 5 minutes unless we operate. What's that?
That's lunch.
I see you after lunch, kid.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the idea?
Well,
Charlie, the folks here today were very nice to us, weren't they?
Yeah, they were really super. And so was Dame Wyman.
Yes. Say, do you know who's going to be with us next week?
Oh, who?
Richard Widmark. You know, the fellow who played that menacing gangster in the motion picture Kiss of Death.
Wow. I better start raising an extra crop of goose pimples. Hey, good night, folks. Good night.
That's the taste of sampling coffee and royal pudding. Jane Wyman appears with the courtesy of Warner Brothers, producers of Dark Passage. This is Ken Carpenter speaking to you from Thorne Hall at Occidental College, Los Angeles, California.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Charlie McCarthy Show on Tuned to Yesterday from October 19th, 1947 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tune 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. Coming up next, it's the Burns and Allen Show from February 15th, 1944, with special guest Fred Astaire. Astaire not really known for his radio work, and this marks a relatively rare broadcast with him as special guest, known for his tap dancing and singing on film. On radio, he tried his hand at hosting for the Packard Hour in 1936, and even in rehearsals before the program even began, he was worried that dancing wouldn't translate on radio and was already having problems with fellow cast members and their comedy, so much so that at the first broadcast of the program, he completely missed, and special guests Jack Benny and Ginger Rogers had to carry it for him before he returned the second week, only lasting a few months before calling it quits. This episode of Burns and Allen next from the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company.
And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, by this time of day, George is usually home from the office. But today he's working hard and late. Let's look in at George's office and see what's detaining the little beaver.
Ah, well, I'll never get this work finished. Now, let's see, where was I? Oh, great, great. There he goes again. Who is that broken-down hoofer upstairs? Now, let's see, where was I?
Hey, stop dancing up there!
Oh, you keep quiet down there.
Smart guy.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Burns?
You're darn right I do. You're the manager of this building. Tell that jerk in the office above me to stop dancing. I'm trying to get some work done.
Yes, sir, Mr. Burns. I'll speak to him right away. Excuse me, may I speak to you, Mr. Astaire?
Why, sure, come in.
I'm sorry, Mr. Astaire, but your dancing is disturbing the party downstairs.
Say, who is that old sourpuss?
Well,
whoever is, he's got a nerve complaining. You tell him that when he sings Ain't Misbehaving, it sounds like plumbing that's out of order.
Oh, I couldn't tell him that.
All right. Tell him it sounds like plumbing that's working.
But, Mr. Astaire...
Look, I rented this office to dream up some new routines and hold tryouts for a new dancing partner. Now, go down and tell old Gravel Throat to go home.
So he doesn't like it when I sing Ain't Misbehaving, huh?
No, sir.
Well, look, if he doesn't stop dancing, I'm going to move out of this office building.
Oh, please don't do that, Mr. Burns. You've been with us a long time.
You bet.
And if you move out, we'll lose all that back rent.
Go. Now, let's see. Where was I?
Ain't misbehaving all by myself. Ain't misbehaving.
Hello, darling. What, George, look. Your high notes are so strong today, you're knocking the plaster right off the ceiling.
That's not me, Gracie. There's a guy in the office above me who thinks he's a dancer. Oh, great, great, great. There he goes again. He's been doing that all day. He's driving me crazy.
Oh, now, George, don't be upset. Feel sorry for him. You can tell by listening that he's obviously some poor old feeble trooper trying to get back into vaudeville.
I guess so.
Remember when you danced in vaudeville, darling?
Sure. They used to call me Twinkle Toes Burns.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. How you used to wear out your socks dancing. You know, it seems like I was always knitting you socks.
That's right.
Remember the first pair of socks I knitted you? You thought they were sweaters.
Yeah.
You never did wear them. They were too small for your feet and too big for your chest.
Well, you better run along home, sweetheart. I'll be working here at the office till midnight.
Ain't misbehaving all by myself. Ain't misbehaving.
Oh, my goodness, George. I'm glad your voice isn't as flat as his feet.
You said it. I think I'll go up there and punch that guy right in the nose.
Oh, now, George, please. You don't know your own strength. You'll lose your temper and take a swing at him, and the first thing you know, there'll be some teeth knocked out. You need all you've got.
But, Gracie, I've got to get my work done.
Well, I'll go up and talk to him, dear. You get to work.
Gracie!
Well, Tootsie Sagwell, what are you doing in this office building?
I'm looking for a job, Gracie. You see, I've decided to give up men.
Give up men? But, Tootsie, this is leap year. And if I ever saw a girl with kangaroo blood, it's you.
I don't care, Gracie. I've decided to have a career instead of a husband.
Oh. Well, maybe you're wise, Tootsie. A career can't break your heart. And a career can't go out nights and play poker.
Yeah.
But there's only one thing. On a cold night, you can't warm your feet on your career.
That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, hiya, girl.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Oh, hello, Tootsie. Say, is George in his office, Gracie?
Oh, yes, Bill. Oh, but before you go in, listen to the news. Well, tell him, Tootsie.
Well, Mr. Goodwin, I'm not running after men anymore.
Oh, really, Tootsie? Got yourself a bicycle, huh?
Oh, Bill, you're just jealous because Tootsie's going to have a career instead of marrying you and raising a bunch of little Goodwins.
Well... Gracie, with Tootsie as their mother, I doubt if there'd be a good one in the bunch.
Oh. Yeah. Well, if you two will excuse me, I have to go upstairs and tell the man in the office over George's to stop dancing. He's disturbing George.
Disturbing George? Gracie, do you know who that is up there?
Who?
Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire.
Well, sure, he's holding tryouts for a new dancing partner.
Oh, my goodness, and I... Tootsie, your career.
Huh?
You're going to be Fred Astaire's new dancing partner.
But, Gracie, I can't dance.
Oh, don't be silly. If Fred can dance so wonderfully with his tiny feet, you'll be four times as great.
Jimmy Cash sings a delightful ballad from Showboat, Make Believe. Jim?
We could make believe I love you. Only make believe that you love me. Couldn't you, couldn't I, couldn't we make believe our lips are blending in a phantom kiss or two or three? Might as well. Oh.
here's Mr. Stair's office, Bill. I'm glad you told me he's looking for a new partner. Goodbye.
Well, now, wait a minute, Gracie. I didn't want to say this in front of Tootsie, but Fred'll never hire a girl with a puss like hers.
Well, Bill, Mr. Stair is looking for a dancing partner, and Tootsie dances on her feet, not her face.
You know, one look, and he ain't going to believe that.
Well, anyway, he's not going to see her until after he's hired her.
You mean he'll hire Tootsie just on your say-so?
Well, of course. You see, Fred is a very good friend of George's, and he'll be glad to do a favor for... Oh, my goodness. What if he finds out it's George who's trying to have him thrown out of the building?
Well, Tootsie will have no career.
Yeah, that's right. And Fred needs a partner like Tootsie. She'll be such an improvement over Ginger Rogers.
Grace, are you kidding? Why, Ginger Rogers has the most luscious, the most gorgeous figure you've ever seen.
That's just it. Now when Fred dances with Tootsie, people will watch him for a change.
I see.
Well, I'll make certain he doesn't find out that George has the office under him. Goodbye, Bill.
Goodbye, Gracie.
Good luck. Now, listen. If you don't like my dancing... Gracie. Excuse me. I thought you were old Gravel Throat from downstairs.
Old Gravel Throat?
Yeah. Some guy in the office below has been heckling me all day. Well, come on in, Gracie. How's George?
Old Gravel Throat? I mean, George? Oh, he's fine.
Say, where does George have his office these days?
His office?
Yeah, where does he hang out?
Oh, just above the waist a little.
No, I mean, where is his place of business? Where does he work?
Oh, work?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so much for George. Now, let's talk about you. I understand you're looking for a new dancing partner.
That's right, I am.
Well, your troubles are over.
Gracie, you mean... Oh, why, that's wonderful. You'll be great.
Oh, no, not me. My goodness, Fred, I haven't danced since I was a little girl.
Little girl? Gracie, you danced in a picture with me about 4 years ago.
Well...
Oh, yes, of course. You were just a little girl then.
Oh, clatter. Oh, no, Fred. The partner I have in mind for you is Tootsie Sagwell.
Sagwell?
Yes.
Is that her name or her condition?
No, Fred, that's her name, Tootsie Sagwell. Oh, she'll make a wonderful dancing partner, Fred.
Really? You know, I'm looking for someone different, someone fresh.
Well, Tootsie's the freshest girl I know.
I mean, I want a partner who'll give me fresh ideas for dances. I'm looking for new wrinkles.
That's Tootsie.
She's really different, huh?
Like nothing you've ever seen before.
Well, how about Tootsie's dancing? Could she handle a little step like this, for instance? Let me see.
Ain't misbehaving all by myself.
Well, there goes old Gravel Throat again.
Ain't misbehaving.
Quiet. That does it. I'm going down to his office and meet him face to face.
Oh, no, you won't like it.
What?
I mean, why argue with him? Why not come to my house and rehearse?
Well, it's a cinch I can't work here, and they won't let me dance in my apartment.
Well, you come right on home with me.
Well, okay, Gracie. Oh, wait. Before we go... Just one little farewell for old Gravel Throat. He'll go crazy waiting for the rest of it.
Well, here we are, Fred. You can rehearse in the room just above this one. It's George and my bedroom.
You sure you won't mind my dancing in your bedroom?
Oh, no, George and I never dance there. And besides, George won't be home for hours.
Okay. The room right above this one, huh?
Yeah, that's right. First door to the left at the top of the stairs.
Thanks, Gracie.
Well, it looks like Tootsie will have her career.
Hello, dear.
Why, George, what are you doing home?
I couldn't work at the office with that dancing going on over my head.
driving me crazy.
It was?
Yeah. I can still hear it ringing in my ears. What was that?
What was what, dear?
That dancing. Didn't you hear it?
No, I didn't hear anything.
There it goes again. Don't tell me you didn't hear that.
Not a sound.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe it's affecting my hearing. Gracie, shout in my ear. Shout as loud as you can.
George! George!
Are you shouting, Gracie?
I'm screaming my lungs out.
Oh, I'm as crazy as a loon. I better go up to our bedroom and lie down.
Oh, no. Wait till I get him out.
Huh?
I mean... You wait here. I'll fix the bed. Fred, you'll have to leave right away.
Why?
Well, my mother has a terrible headache.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go down and apologize to her.
Oh, no. You see... She doesn't like men. She hates men. She can't stand the sight of a man.
Well, what about George?
That's why she doesn't like men.
Say, I know where I can rehearse. There's a room above Stanley's Cigar Store.
Stanley's Cigar Store, that's a wonderful place for you to rehearse. You slip down the back way, and I'll see you later. George, do you still hear the dancing?
No. I still feel kind of shaky. I think I'll go out and get a little fresh air.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think I'll walk down to Stanley's Cigar Store.
Cigar Store, George!
Oh, hello, Mr. Burns.
Hiya, Stanley.
Oh, say, you don't look very well. You're pale.
Yeah. Don't feel so good, Stanley. Pale cigars.
Yeah.
Here's your nickel.
Mr. Burns, wouldn't you rather be pale than green?
Very funny. Let's have the cigars.
I'll have to get them from the back room.
Why do you keep my cigars in the back room?
Oh, Mr. Burns.
What a day. I can still hear that pounding in my ears. Oh, no. No, not that. Stop it. Stop it.
What is it, Mr. Burns? What is it? What's the matter?
Oh, you wouldn't know. You can't hear it. Only I can hear it. It's in my head. I'm going nuts.
I told him to stop smoking those cigars.
Time for Felix Mills and his orchestra with Cheery Beery Bee. George is in bed with cold towels on his head, and if Gracie can just keep him there, Tootsie may become Fred Astaire's new dancing partner.
How are you feeling, George?
Much better, dear. I guess I'll get up.
Oh, no, you must stay right here in bed.
But I think I can get up. I'm not hearing things anymore. There's someone at the door.
There is?
Didn't you hear the buzzer?
No.
There, didn't you hear that?
Poor George.
See, it's back again. I could have sworn I heard it.
Oh, there's the telephone.
Huh?
The telephone, didn't you hear it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, there it goes again.
Oh, gee.
I'd better answer it.
Holy smoke. I guess I better stay in bed. Well, at least I don't hear that dancing anymore.
Well, just be quiet, dear. You will. Oh, hello, Fred.
Hello, Gracie.
Oh, quick, do a little step.
Okay.
Oh, Gracie!
Well, who was that?
Well, that was Mother.
Your mother sounds a lot like George.
Yeah, doesn't she, though? Mother even looks like George.
That must be tough on your father.
Yes. Well, Tootsie will be here any minute now. I'd better turn out the lights.
Turn out the lights? But then I won't be able to see her.
That's the idea. Oh, I mean, the idea for a new dance.
A dance in the dark?
Yes.
Why, that... Say, wait a minute. Maybe you've got something. I can see a swell routine. Neon lights on our feet.
Oh, sure. And you can hide the batteries right in Tootsie's shoes.
Great. And then after... Hide the batteries in her shoes? What size shoe does she wear?
Oh, don't worry. Your feet will match perfectly.
Gracie, what size shoe does Tootsie wear?
Well, what size do you wear?
Eight.
Eight? Eight on each foot?
Naturally.
Oh, see now. Eight and eight are 16. Yeah, your feet will match perfectly.
But Gracie...
Oh, I can just see you and Tootsie dancing together. Dancing cheek to chest.
Cheek to chest? Is she that short?
No, you are.
You know, I don't want to seem suspicious, but Tootsie is beginning to sound just the teensiest little bit ghoulish.
Oh, you love her. Oh, there she is on the porch. Now grab her as she walks in. I'll switch off the lights. There.
Okay. I got her. No, turn the lights on. It's another man.
No, it's me, Tootsie Sagwell.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Miss Sagwell. Shall we dance?
Oh, I'd love to, Freddy. Hold on. Whee!
Well, are you dancing, Fred? I don't hear any taps.
It's rather difficult to tap unless Miss Sagwell will allow my feet to touch the floor.
Oh, Tootsie. Don't hold him so high.
And not so tight, Tootsie.
Yes, Tootsie, you must be gentle with Mr. Astaire. He's George's type. You know, agile but fragile.
It's no use, Gracie. I've got to see Tootsie to dance with her. Turn the lights on, please.
All right. There. Now, can you see her?
Turn them off.
Aren't we going to trip the light fantastic?
I'm afraid not. Now that it's light, you're too fantastic.
Hey, what's going on out here?
Oh, it's George. Goodbye.
It's Fred Astaire.
Hello, George. What are you doing in that nightshirt?
Oh, I've been in bed. Some jerk in my office building almost drove me crazy today.
That's funny. Some jerk in my office building almost drove me crazy today.
Really? What building are you in?
Why, the,
You two jerks mustn't get together.
What?
I say, you must get together. George will be a wonderful partner for you, Fred. You have rhythm in your feet, and George has rhythm. George does a sensational rumba.
Yes, and I could sing a little song, too. Get a load of this, Fred. Ain't misbehaving all by myself.
Where have I heard that before?
Ain't misbehaving, I'm happy on the shelf.
Gravel throat.
Huh?
Well, there goes another partner.
gravel still. Gee, Fred, then that was you in that office above me. Had I known, I wouldn't have complained.
Well, George, if I'd known it was you in the office below, I wouldn't have annoyed you with my dancing.
Oh, Fred, I love your dancing.
Well, thanks, George, and I love your whatever it is you do.
Gee, Fred, you can dance over my head anytime.
Oh, thanks, and then you can sing under my feet anytime.
Gosh, Fred, you're tops.
No, George, you're tops.
Oh, no, boys, boys, I hate to interrupt, but Valentine's Day was yesterday.
Burns and Allen, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 15th, 1944. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.